he has been, you know, so beneficial from, you know, sponsoring the Main Street Tax Certainty Act, S-480. He's a co-sponsor there. He sits on finance. He sits on the Small Business and Entrepreneurial Committee. He has been a major supporter of broadband outreach and what that does for not just businesses, but what that does for education, which then feeds into business and getting more folks into the pipeline. He's constantly been looking out for South Carolina with dollars. He has talked about liability protection. I mean, we're blessed to have Senator Scott representing us there in D.C. and really representing us all across South Carolina. Senator, we're gonna turn it over to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much for the very kind introduction, and to all the business owners out there, God bless you for persevering through this pandemic and coming out on the other side still open and ready for business. That's not the case for so many businesses around the country and even at home in South Carolina. We saw that over almost one out of every four small businesses had to close at some time during the pandemic. And as all of us know, our state is a tourist destination like the world has never known. And so we've got a lot of small businesses in the tourism space that literally had to close their doors for too long. And one of the reasons why I worked so hard on the Paycheck Protection Program is having, as you said at the beginning, having been a small business owner myself, having signed the front of the paycheck and not able to sign the back of a paycheck for myself for a few months when I was first starting my business, that pain and misery, let us pray. But the Paycheck Protection Program was an opportunity for me and folks like Susan Collins and Marco Rubio to work together to come up with a program that would bridge the gap, because most business owners, the vast majority of business owners, are just like I was when I was a business owner. We saw our employees. We see our employees as an extension of our families. So keeping your family, whether you're blood related or not, on the payroll was absolutely essential for the success and continuation of your business, because our businesses are in many ways like a kid. I love my businesses and shepherd my businesses and try to take care of my businesses just like you all have done during what has been one of the greatest existential threats to small business we've seen in a lifetime. Thank you for persevering, for enduring, for overcoming challenges, and frankly, for many small businesses, even this day, it is still hard. Your doors may be open, your revenues may be increasing, but it's still really hard. And one of the things that is frustrating to me is that today we have folks who don't fully appreciate the significant burden that more regulations and higher taxes would place on top of businesses that have been hanging on by a thread throughout this pandemic. It's one of the reasons why my amendment passed 100-0 as we were debating through the COVID relief package to not increase taxes on small businesses. That, of course, should be common sense, but common sense is in short supply in Washington, D.C. The good news is that the Paycheck Protection Program, unlike the current trajectory towards taxation, actually helped not solve problems, but bridge problems, giving you all more time. We had 100,000 businesses approved for loans through the Paycheck Protection Program that became a grant totaling almost $8 billion of assistance to keeping your extended family members on the payroll. I am also the co-chair of the Senate's Entrepreneurial Caucus, and we are working on more initiatives to keep our attention focused on small businesses, because common sense also concludes that most Americans work for a small business. We thank you for keeping your doors open. I thank you for being the champions that we need, and I look forward to having a chance to answer your questions. I'm trying to go a little shorter, so in case we get to more than two or three questions.
So thank you. When you mentioned family for South Carolina, for NFIB members, over 90% of them are four and five employee. So we're talking, they truly are a family. I mean, it's not, while the government says small businesses, 500 employees or less, I mean, our folks are, we're talking five or less.
Yes.
And so it really is a big deal of keeping those people there and working. One of the questions that we had gotten prior, and you had done at least one video on this. I want to say it was more of a series. You were talking about raising the minimum wage.
Yeah.
I watched the one where you went and talked to the bartender who talked all about how this was a really bad thing for her.
Absolutely.
You know, we've had numerous state bills on this, and I know the feds are certainly looking at it. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, where you are on that? Cause you have been outspoken on the issue.
It's one of the most important issues for small businesses as I can think of right now. In other words, why in the world for those businesses hanging on by a thread, why would you increase the cost of keeping your doors open? That does not make sense in any universe, in my opinion. And frankly, for the entry level employee, as well as the person who's been there for a few years, you know, $15 an hour, depending on what region you live in, is tough to get to. And more importantly, going from $7.25 to $15 is an impossible chasm for a lot of businesses. But specifically to the employees, you're talking about eliminating at least 1.4 million jobs, entry-level jobs. The earlier reports from the CBO before the pandemic had that number as high as 3.7 million lost jobs. Hmm. Now, I'll say this, and I'll make this will be my longest answer, I promise. I was talking to the chairman of the Federal Reserve and the new Secretary of the Treasury, Yellen, and I asked a question about inflation. And they said, you know, gobbledygook is what they said. And then they concluded by saying, not a big deal. Well, last time I checked, gas is up, milk is up, bread is up, eggs is up. I'm not sure where they're looking for inflation, but it's not where you and I live. So if all your built-in recurring costs are increasing, then we're going to increase the cost of your labor. Where do you take that from? And you can't take it from profits because the profits were gutted during the pandemic. It's just a terrible concept. So raising the minimum wage artificially by government fiat is the fastest way to close more small businesses. What we've seen is the exact opposite over the last 4 years before the pandemic, by the way, which is a full economy where our unemployment rate stays under 4%. In parts of our state, it was under 2%. That means that the pressure on finding the supply of workers is so high, the demand is so high, that the wages go up. And that is a way that you create a sustainable increase in the minimum wage, because we all want our employees to make more money. We just want them to make more money while we're able to keep them employed. Novel concept. So I think it's a battle that we have to stay engaged in. And frankly, regions of the country will make a decision as it relates to minimum wages. But we should not, through government fiat, increase something that will decrease the number of employees we have working, period.
That is excellent to hear. I may steal some of that for when I have to talk to the state legislators about that, because we have, I want to say it's 15 different bills all dealing with raising the minimum wage here, and several of them we've already been able to keep in committee, but it is going to keep coming up.
It is. We certainly should. Having served in the State House, as you said during my introduction, thank you again for that kind introduction. One of the things that our legislators, I think, would benefit knowing is the fact that increasing the minimum wage during the pandemic in the tail of the pandemic only leads to a crisis in small businesses. We should not even consider the conversation until the pandemic is over. And then we should first consider a conversation. Can we raise the minimum wage permanently by increasing employment throughout the state? Once we get employment under a certain percentage, I think the percentage is still around 4%, under 4%, I believe wages will naturally increase. I would say give us a chance to prove in the free enterprise system that we will raise wages based on reality, as opposed to government coming in and even raising them artificially just in South Carolina.
Well, we are certainly all about the free enterprise system. That is a hallmark for NFIB. Another issue that's come up that I know you're also passionate about is expansion of broadband, because it not only is a help for business, but it helps education, which feeds into business. I mean, if we can educate the next generation of our workers, but as more people are remote because of COVID, some can work, some cannot work, because they don't have that access, as more things are going online can you talk a little bit? I know you've tried to, has put money towards the issue here in South Carolina. And I know we are at a state level as well, but, I know that's something that you're trying to help us out with.
Well, broadband is as important today as any other infrastructure issue I can think of. One day we'll have a conversation about the infrastructure package that's being proposed by the administration today, with only about 6% of it going to roads and bridges. So if we were going to expand that perspective, I'd love to be negotiating on an actual infrastructure package that included broadband. But what we did during the COVID relief packages is we encouraged and provided resources towards broadband. I also want to continue to increase those resources. I love the fact that the South Carolina governor's broadband bill is something that we have worked on with Senator Graham to try to provide, you know, a pool of resources. I think it was up to $10 billion or something, where we can focus more attention on allowing for our resources to go into broadband. That $10 billion may have been nationwide in a grant process to get resources, but it's really important for us to focus our attention on broadband. It is necessary. Virtual work, virtual healthcare, and virtual education all requires a connection in your home. And if you're in Gaffney, South Carolina, Lancaster, if you're in Union County, you may find yourself without the connections that you want. Certainly, we know that's true in some of the inner cities. But in South Carolina, a big part of the problem we have is in our rural communities. We cannot forget our rural communities suffer from a lack of access to broadband like our inner cities. So if we're going to solve the problem, let's solve it for all South Carolinians. And one of the ways that we do that is focusing specifically on the broadband connection, so that we have parity in rural South Carolina, like we're trying to achieve in some of the urban areas as well.
Well, and we have so many small businesses in rural South Carolina, and so they need that that lifeline.
E-commerce. To your point, e-commerce, and they tell me, I'm looking up at the ceiling, by the way, because I'm thinking, but I think the number, I can't remember the specific statistic, but there are more small business starts in rural America than there are in urban and inner city America. So the fastest growing area for small business growth, there's a statistic that goes along with that, is in rural South Carolina and rural America. So if you're looking for a place to grow the NFIB, we probably could focus our attention on rural South Carolina, because it's bursting at the seams if we do it right.
I know we only have you for one more minute. The last questions that have come in are all about deductions. We know the federal deductions are about to expire. And I know that's something that you've been working on for small businesses.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about maybe where those stand and maybe if there's a possibility that they will continue?
Yeah, we are going to have to work our tails off to play defense. When I was a younger, thinner guy, I was a running back and I loved offense. This is a time for defense from a small business perspective, protecting our deductions, the things that we did with Section 199, the 20% reduction on small business income for pass-throughs, those must be defended along with this consistent drumbeat around some threshold of income where you'll be taxed at a higher level. So while that's not a deduction, that's an increase in taxes. For a lot of small businesses, especially the micro business systems, you just do one tax return. It's called your individual tax return. So it may show a higher income until you start reducing it. My fear is, because of the business expenses, my fear is that some of our friends on the other side don't appreciate and understand those business deductions. So they're going to eliminate even more of those deductions. And when that happens, plus the coupling of moving the corporate tax from 21 to 28%, when I was in business as a small business owner, I had a C corporation, even though I only had a few employees, maybe a mistake, but it was certainly what I did. And because of that, we could see, an elimination of deductions and an increase in taxes. So, you know, that's the double whammy, as I like to call it. So, 2017, we put that 20% reduction on pass-through entities. Can you imagine that going away plus an increase in the actual marginal tax rate? That combination is the double whammy that we all fear. In addition to, the regulatory burden continues to go up. And those are really important. But the Paycheck Protection Program certainly allows for that deduction to happen on the PPP. And we're going to try to protect that as well for those new loans that are being taken out over the last few weeks, because we extended that deadline for a while. End of May, I think it was, something like that. So.
Well, that is excellent news, because that is something that our folks certainly, to gain some sort of, even if it's a little bit of help there, is certainly something that keeps the businesses moving and thriving and allows us to hire the folks. And so if we can keep that tax rate where it is, keep those deductions in place, I mean, that is something that our folks are putting back into their business and putting back into the community, and is a huge help. I do know your time was limited today. I want to thank you. I want to thank your staff, who has been amazing helping, with not just getting you here today, but also issues. They are always super, super helpful. And as part of the federal delegation for South Carolina, we are blessed to have you and your colleagues looking out for small business and all business in South Carolina, because you understand. And the bulk of, you know, the members of the House are all business owners that are from South Carolina. You yourself, yeah. You all understand what it means to own a small business and to really, know what we need. And so we thank you for that and your time today.
Well, thank you very much. And if you give me 30 seconds for a closing comment, though I'm already late to my 10:45, I just want to say to all the small business owners out there, I can't imagine the pressure you feel today. Can't imagine. I can't imagine how hard it is to close your eyes at night and sleep through the night. It's harder than it used to be. But I will tell you that you are blessed to have the NFIB on your side. You are blessed to have business organizations and an apparatus that not only cares about your business success, but they care about your success. And I will tell you that we are going to do our part in fighting in a defensive posture against things that want to eliminate our right to work laws around the country. That's up in jeopardy right now. Things that jeopardize the franchise model. That's up right now for debate. Classifying your 1099 employees or your 1099 contractors as employees. That's up right now. What I'm suggesting to you is that the importance of my office working with the NFIB and your businesses doesn't stop at the end of this conversation. I need you to remain engaged in this fight, because it is a fight, not just for your business, but for your extended family, your employees. Together, we're going to win this fight. God bless you. I'll see you soon. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir.